Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland, and today is the birthday of His Britannic Majesty Charles of that name, the Third. Now, I'm not wishing him a happy birthday. It would be churlish and disingenuous of me to extend these felicitations to somebody I've never met. I've seen him only once, from a few meters away, at Royal Ascot, going from his royal box into whatever this sort of private dining room overlooking the courtyard area, and he really had the old man's shuffle. So His Gracious Majesty is 77 years young today. I think he looks a bit younger than he is, but he is showing his age. He might look like a man who's 67, but yeah, that's quite good. He's never been overweight. He's got the best medical care there is. Talk about being mentally and physically active and his family around him. But of course, he's had family stresses with his daughter-in-law, Kate Middleton. She's been cancer-stricken for a year and a half. Prince Harry said every cruel and insulting thing he possibly could, tried to wash all the dirty linen in public. Meghan Markle always backstabbing the family. His younger brother, Andrew, dragging the family name through the mire. So the dysfunctionality of this family is perfect. And there is another meaning to perfect, as you may know. Right, but people say that Charles III is terminally ill. His cancer is stage 4. There is no stage 5. So he may only have a couple of years to go. There's obviously a slight chance that this is his last birthday. And that is why his son and heir, William, the Prince of Wales, is the one who's saying what's happening. And it's largely due to William that Prince Andrew has been cast out into the outer darkness, because William V may ascend to the throne sooner than we realize. Just because the late Elizabeth II lived to 96, no, that doesn't guarantee that her firstborn will attain such a ripe age. Anyway, so that's why he doesn't appear in public very often. These are rather brief appearances. Presume they pump him full of cortisone or whatever they need to, so that he can be fairly sprightly, fizzy. What else would the words be? You know, gingered up. Okay, so that's him. Charles Philip Arthur George, born this day in 1948, King of the United Kingdom, Jamaica, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and his other realms and possessions beyond the seas, defender of the faith, a past pupil of Cheam School, an old Gordonstonian, someone who spent some time teaching in Geelong Grammar School in Australia. So he just finished his A-levels. I think you have to take an extra term or something to do A-levels in those days. You're going to go to Cambridge, special exam, and then spent 6 months there, but, you know, teaching the younger pupils, despite having no teaching qualifications. That was completely normal even into the 1980s. And then he went to Trinity College, Cambridge, Trinity being the most illustrious college in England's second oldest university, spending some time with the Royal Air Force, mostly the Royal Navy, for 5 years up until 1976. So that's him. Another thing is he is circumcised. No, I haven't seen his crown jewels up close and personal, but it's widely known. It's an upper class thing, hiring a Jewish mole. I don't know why. Whereas the middle class and working class don't do that unless they're Mohammedans or those who follow the Judaic faith. But so that is him, twice married, first to Lady Diana Spencer and later to Mrs. Camilla Parker Bowles, who was his lover in the early 1970s. Then she was married to Mr. Andrew Parker Bowles, and then Charles's lover again, certainly from the late 1980s. So they had a hiatus of up to 15 years in that relationship. So he ascended the the throne at the age of 73, being the most elderly person to accede to the Britannic throne. He was Prince of Wales, therefore heir apparent, as in if his mother dropped off her perch, as she eventually did, he was the one who's going to take over. Well, really, his birthday is about 9:15 tonight, if you're being pedantic, because that's the time he was born. So his father being a Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, a Prince of Denmark and Greece, and later a Prince of the United Kingdom. Born by cesarean section, was his mother too posh to push? And he was the eldest of 4 siblings. He was baptized a month after his birth, as is customary, in the music room of Buckingham Palace. The Archbishop of Canterbury presided. George Geoffrey Fisher, the one who subsequently crowned Charles III's mother as queen in 1953. What else would I say about him? Yes, his ancestry is largely Germanic, somewhat Danish. So you can say Greek, but the Danish family they were of Greek descent, because they thought, well, when we have to have a monarch, then we have to have a monarch to be a respectable country. So they got a younger son of the King of Denmark. So Charles III, he's the father of two and the grandfather of five. So that's it. He had all sorts of titles: Duke of Rothesay, Duke of Cornwall, Earl of Carrick, Lord of the Isles, whatnot. They usually gave him all these things when he married. He was invested as Prince of Wales in, I think it was 1969, short before his 21st birthday, that August in Caernarfon Castle, Wales. He spent some time at Aberystwyth University to learn a bit of Welsh. And the Secretary of State of Wales, George Thomas, he's the one who swore him in and swearing to be his mother's liege man of life and limb and so forth. Now, his eldest son, William, is Prince of Wales, but they haven't held an investiture ceremony. The Welsh government counseled against it. Now, crown matters are reserved to the Westminster government. Nevertheless, therefore, the royal family chose to go with this. I think then His Majesty's government, as in the Westminster one, gave him official advice: we do not go for an investiture ceremony. The Labour administration, Wales, said not to do it. We won't go against that. We want this to be a popular event. We don't want to be unpopular. There'll be demonstrations. It would cost some money, so let's not do it. It may happen that the Welsh government changes its mind. Looks like it's going to change political colour next year in Plaid Cymru. But Plaid Cymru are probably even more unsympathetic to the House of Windsor than the Labour Party. So that seems probably going to be quite a short reign, a transitional reign. He's trying to strip out the frippery. But Charles, he's interested in architecture. Wrote that Vision of Britain. He used to like polo, and hunting, shooting, fishing. He was a countryside man. He was a bit of a young fogey, and he's become more comfortable in his own skin as his chronological age has caught up with his psychological age. So he's fairly dutiful, outspoken on the environment. Of course, he's a hypocrite. He doesn't practice what he preaches. He could live in a one-bedroom flat. He said people in the United Kingdom should buy British stuff, but he often bought German cars. German is the only foreign language he speaks fairly well. He does speak some French. He's very well traveled into many, many countries. What else about him? Got some emotional intelligence. Knows how to deal with the Arab absolute monarchies. When British people are in jail there, he manages to broach the issue in a way that doesn't put up the backs of his hosts. So he wears all these military uniforms, which is not actually served in the unit, but that is the custom, on making colonel in chief of the parachute regiment, or whatever some people regard it as stolen valor. So he tries to keep his views to himself on most things, but he has been outspoken on ecology, like his father before him. But he's had his share of a carbon footprint, which he's pumped out. He got an award in 2005, Global Environmental Citizen. And of course, he flew to the United States with several staff to accept it, which was putting more carbon out there. So he professes his compassion for the needy, but never gives them an ob of his own money. That's him. A monarchist, though I am, I recognize him for the very flawed individual he is. And he says he wants to be defender of faiths. He's expressed his admiration and sympathy for Islam. What's the penalty for adultery under Islam? And what else? And he considers himself a bit of a Shakespearean scholar. So, a bit stuck up. He can't take when people disagree with him. Prince of Wales is a whinge bag. So Max Hastings, former editor of the Daily Telegraph, not someone for whom I have much respect, but he recalled in the 90s Charles meeting with a few other men his age, all in their 40s. And Charles was saying, oh, no one knows how bloody it is to be the Prince of Wales. And isn't it terrible I'm getting divorced? And Max Hastings, it wasn't Sir Max that said, Sir, all of men of us here, all of us men who've gone through the pain of divorce, but we have to remember we're still very lucky in many ways. And Hastings said the prince never spoke to him again. He couldn't take it that someone didn't share his opinion. Because Charles, you don't feel that sorry for yourself. You're a prince, you're the king, for God's sake. Born with a silver spoon in your mouth, you wanted for nothing. You had all this unearned adulation. And all right, there were a few disadvantages that you couldn't pursue your own path in life. You had the paparazzi following you, but you had many, many advantages, many people far, far worse off than you. So count your blessings.